I want us to open our Bibles this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we commence to read verse number 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 15. Let's read God's precious and God's holy word together, please. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father said unto his servant, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Thy brother has come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment. And yet thou never givest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will indeed add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We want to bid you welcome this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that God will bless our coming together as we gather round God's precious and God's infallible word. We thank you for praying for us that we might know the presence of the Lord and the power of God and the ministry of his word over there in Powell in Knoxville, Tennessee. We thank God for the sweetness of his presence. We thank God that many souls were saved and backsliders were restored and God's people were stirred and revived again. And we thank God for the goodness of God in giving us that privilege of preaching the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to continue to pray that God will continue that work, for we believe with all our hearts that the work is not ended in those meetings, but that God was continuing that work and God moving in a very mighty and a very powerful way in those meetings. We do pray that God will do so in our services today. As we gather in God's house, that God will speak to us, that we might know a deep sense of the Lord's presence, and that you have come with that spirit of expectancy, that we might hear the voice of God, that we might hear God speak to us, and God move upon us in our hearts. Can I mention there for the meetings in the will of God for this, the Lord's Day, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the prayer time for the open-air work, and they're spending a time in prayer and intercession today from 3 o'clock before the Lord in prayer for this open-air work, that God will bless the ministry of his word. Also 3 o'clock this afternoon in T-Ban, pray for us there, that God's hand will be upon us as we bring the word, and that God's hand will be upon us as we meet there this afternoon. 6 o'clock this evening, the place of prayer. We ask God's people to come and pray that we might know the blessing of the Lord. That's at 6 p.m. And at 7 o'clock, we have the old-time gospel evening service. Notice the change of time. Come and join with us at 7 p.m. and listen to the Word of God as we open the Scriptures together. And may God bless us as we meet in the Lord's house together this evening in God's will. Monday, could I mention to you the Ladies' Fellowship meeting? Monday evening at 8 o'clock, ladies, please remember your meeting. And our brother Desi Boyce will be bringing the word on the Ladies' Fellowship meeting this Monday evening. On Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. in the primary school, the meeting for the boys and girls in the primary school. And then at 10:30, it is the parents and the toddlers meeting in the will of the Lord as well. We'll be making a further announcement concerning the high school. We have the time, and our brother Philip will be giving us that announcement this evening for the high school meeting for those of the third year. On Tuesday evening at 7:15, we have the outreach work, and that will be in Upperlands this Tuesday evening at 7:15. And therefore, the men folk and the ladies will be doing the hospital visitation in the will of the Lord. On Wednesday evening at 7:15, we have the children's meetings in Macarath Primary School and also in the complex. Pray for this work amongst the children, that God will richly bless this work among the boys and girls. On Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, we have the prayer meeting and Bible study. Come and join with us as we open the Scriptures together. Meet around the Word of God and let God speak to us and challenge our hearts afresh. Saturday, in the will of God, the children's meeting workers are meeting on Saturday at 12:30 for an hour on Saturday morning at 12:30 in the will of God. And then at 7:20 on Saturday evening, we have the prayer time for God's people for the youth fellowship. And at 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship. Remember the bus run that is going out there on a Saturday night. Pray for it and encourage others to come and join the work in the youth fellowship. And then the young people will be taking that meeting themselves on Saturday evening in the will of the Lord. Next Lord's Day, 10:45, is the Sabbath school, the Bible classes. 12 noon is family worship. 7 o'clock, the evening service in the will of the Lord. And pray for these meetings and pray that God's blessing will be upon us as we open the Scriptures. Next Sabbath evening after the service, the people of God will meet around the table of the Lord to remember the Lord's death and communion. I'm going to ask God's people to come and join with us next Sabbath evening in the family time of gathering round the Lord's table to remember the Lord's death. Could I say a word of thanks to the young people that took the service last Lord's Day, our brother Mr. Berry in the morning, and then the young people in the evening. We do thank God for that. I heard good reports of that meeting. We thank God for the service of our young people in the service of the Savior. We pray that God will bless each one of them and encourage them as they would seek indeed to continue in the work and among the young people and to develop their lives in the ways of the Lord. Could I also mention to you the prayer request for this week? It is our sister Noreen McAfee in Katali in Kenya, and also our brother Desi McComb, the Reverend McComb in Birmingham in England. And it also is the retiring missionary offering this week for the Lord's work, for the missionary work. We'd like to extend our sympathy to families that have been bereaved, and quite a number of families have been bereaved this week. We pray that God will comfort them and sustain them. We think of the McKinley family. We pray that God will comfort them and be with them in the passing of their loved one. We think of the Wallace family. We pray that God will indeed also comfort and sustain them. We think of the McNichol family and the connection here, the McKee family, and those connected with this family circle. May the Lord indeed comfort them. We think of the Nesbitt family. We pray that God will indeed comfort them. Robert, in the passing of Robert, I think his funeral is this afternoon, the woods at 2:30. To pray that God will indeed just comfort the Nesbitts at this time. And also would remember Cherie Stevens and Stephen at this time. Cherie's uncle suddenly passed away. And we pray that God will indeed comfort Cherie and the rest of her family at this time and bring them comfort off the Scriptures. Could I mention this little book, The Precious Promises? It's a systematic daily devotion for believers, and it's free out there in the hall. We'd like to take a copy of it. You're welcome to take a copy. There's a box there out in the hallway. Please take it for your family, and those are free, The Precious Promises. And I trust that God will bless them and write them upon your heart. Now, we're going to sing another hymn as we worship the Lord in our tithes and offerings. 437, where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. We do also welcome all those that are listening in across the world on the World Wide Web, and we welcome you in the Savior's precious name. We pray that God will bless your heart as you listen to the ministry of God's precious word through our service today. And we thank you for listening to God's precious, infallible truth. 437 is the number. We'll keep our seats in the offering, for God's work will be received where he may lead me. Our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today that we might know the leading and the guiding of thy Spirit as we come to open the Scriptures. Pray that we might be led of thee into all truth. Pray that thou will give us submissive hearts to listen to thy word, and then, God, be obedient to it. Help us to seek not our own way, but help us to seek thy way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto us. So, Lord, I pray that thou wilt help me this day to open the Scriptures. Help me to minister the word as thou hast given it, to bring the honor and the glory alone to the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles in the book of Jonah, please. And the Jonah in the chapter number 4, the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah. And we commence reading in this passage of God's word in the verse number 1. I'd like you to follow the reading of God's truth as we read this chapter, Jonah chapter 4, the final chapter of this book, and commence to read at verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made he a booth, sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither midst it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. We end our reading there, and God himself will add his blessing indeed to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. As I read the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, or I read the book of Jonah, I am convinced that had man been writing the Bible record, apart from the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that the book of Jonah would only have had three chapters instead of four. I'm absolutely convinced that the fourth chapter, had it been man's doing, the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah would never have been written. Because we like stories that have happy endings. You know, people tell the stories to their children, and they usually end the story, and they lived happily ever after. And yet, whenever we come to the story of life and the experiences of life, we know sometimes that life's experiences are not just as we would like them to be. The Spirit of God doesn't end the book at chapter 3. But chapter 4, I believe, is given for us, for our learning, for our instruction, for our edification. To be honest, the end of the book of Jonah is not the grand finale that people long for. Because whenever I look at this final chapter of the book of Jonah, we find that it ends not on a happy note. We notice here that it ends in a sour note. And yet the Spirit of God records what Jonah experienced and what God saw and knew Jonah to be. It is an honest revelation of the reality of Jonah's life and Jonah's experience. Now, when the Spirit of God puts that in the book, friend, we have got to realize that God has written this record that we might learn from it, that we might sit down and that we might carefully examine what the holy record of God is,
And I have to say, it is an unhappy chapter. Jonah was unhappy with God because of what God had done. And in reality, God was unhappy with Jonah because of Jonah's behavior. Jonah had finally done what God wanted him to do. But he did it, and he feels sour because of it. But God didn't do what Jonah wanted him to do, as we'll see. You see, Jonah wanted Nineveh to be judged. God told him to go to the city of Nineveh originally. And if you look in the first chapter, it says, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And so God is sending a servant to preach about the sin of Nineveh. But Jonah knows that God forgives sin and that God pardons sin. And whenever God called Jonah to do this, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord because he didn't like the message that God had given him. Now when you come to chapter 3, God says, "Jonah, it says, arise, verse 2, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Verse 4, "Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, to be honest, that's what Jonah wanted to hear. That's the message that Jonah wanted. Nineveh shall be overthrown. But that's the only part that he really wanted. He didn't really think about what else he said, yet 40 days. In other words, it was a message of grace. God was giving a space to repent. All Jonah wanted to preach was, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And to be honest, in many ways, when he had that last part of the sentence, Jonah was content with a message that God had given him to declare. Because, to be honest, Jonah hadn't the slightest interest in Nineveh being saved. He hadn't the slightest interest of God pardoning Nineveh for her sin. All he wanted was that God was going to destroy her. Friend, it is sad whenever God's people to get into such a state. They're so hard-hearted and they're so indifferent to the wrath of God being poured out upon sinners. That men and women don't care that sinners are being lost. That men and women are dying in their sin and they're going to hell. And that God's wrath will be poured upon them for all eternity. That they will die in their sin, and where Christ is, they will never be. In actual fact, whenever we come to this fourth chapter, Jonah was so hard-hearted that he was displeased. He was angry with God that the judgment didn't come. That's all that troubled Jonah. That the judgment hadn't come. That God had pardoned Nineveh instead of God destroying her. Instead of God judging her, overthrowing her because of her sin. But the Spirit of God records it as it is. The story is told that whenever Oliver Cromwell was sitting for his final portrait that would be handed down for generations to come, and he sat down for that portrait to be made of him, he instructed the artist to paint him just as he saw him. He wanted no flattery. He didn't want any changes to be made. And that famous English man had some disfiguring warts on his face. And that's where we get the statement, because Oliver Cromwell said, "Paint me, warts and all." Warts and all. In other words, in our language, it simply stands for the fact, I want you to paint me honestly a true representation of the person without covering up the defects. I want you to paint me warts and all. And friend, that's what the Holy Ghost does in chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. Because the book of Jonah gives to us an accurate picture of the heart of a man, warts and all. And the last chapter is not, in reality, a happy picture to see. Honestly, if you look at this passage of God's Word in the little book of Jonah, you'll find this. That if the fourth chapter had not have been given, you and I would have had a complete different picture. And you and I would have a different opinion of the prophet. But it wouldn't have been a true one. It wouldn't have been the whole story. What we would have remembered was Jonah going and preaching and God sending a gracious revival. God sending a stirring. God sending a repentance in the city of Nineveh. In many ways, the book ends in an anticlimax. Because here's a preacher and he preaches his heart out. He sees the power of God. He sees how God changes lives. He sees how God changes a whole city. And yet we see a man walking, turning his back on the city. Walking out of the city and sitting on the east side of it. And he buries his head in his hands. A bitter man. That's the honest story. After a gracious outpouring of the Spirit of God, out after God moving in a mighty way through his ministry, he sits at the side of the city and he's weeping and angry and a bitter man. See, the Holy Ghost tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance." And God looks on the heart. Or it is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God." God examining the heart. God not looking on the outward appearance. What did God see in Jonah's heart? If chapter 4 had not been written, friend, it would be so different. But chapter 4 is given to us and it portrays a prophet. A sad picture, a sad figure. We read this morning 15th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. And we just didn't read that chapter by chance, friend, because let me tell you, I see in the prodigal's brother a picture of the prophet Jonah. You can remember the story of the prodigal. And the prodigal went into the far country. And he wasted his father's living. And all that the father gave him in riotous living. And with harlots. The brother stayed at home. One day the brother came home from the field. And when he came home from the field, he heard the singing and the joyfulness of the house of his father, because the prodigal had returned. Instead of the brother being glad that his brother was alive, and that the brother had left the far country, and the brother had seen the error of his way, instead of that, he was critical. He was selfish. He was angry. He was joyless over his brother's repentance. He wouldn't even come in to the house. And I see this man here, and it says in verse 5 of chapter 4, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. And he sat there angry against God. Why? Because God forgave the city. Because God pardoned it. Let's look first of all at Jonah's displeasure. Look at verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now what displeased him? Jonah had gone to the city of Nineveh, and he had preached the message which God gave him. And Jonah had seen God mightily working. He saw the power of God moving. He saw the miraculous turning of the hearts of the people of Nineveh. And God had worked in his own life. And God had worked through his ministry in the lives of others. You could say, my, Jonah should have been on the top of the mountain. He's seen the work of God. What minister would not want to see God working like this? What preacher would not want to see a movement of God like this man Jonah experienced? Aye, he's bound to be on the top of the mountain. He's bound to be up there, carried with the power of God, rejoicing in the movement of God in his heart. But what's Jonah doing? Sulking. Sulking. Oh, that reminds me. Reminds me of this fact, friend. The best of men are only men at best. He was only a man. And sad to say, instead of being spiritual, he was carnal. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, but Jonah. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, but the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 5, but Jonah. And now we find in verse chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah. And here we see a man that's arguing against the will of God. Instead of seeking the way of God, he wants his own way. He didn't want God to save. He didn't want God to move. He didn't want God to pardon. And so it says this, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Friend, I could have understood had the devil been hopping mad here. You read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see whenever God moves and God works, you find that God's people are happy in the Lord. Even in days of persecution, they're happy in the Lord. But the devil's hopping. The devil's mad. The devil's trying to stop the blessing. But here's a man and he's been a channel of blessing. Here's a man that has been a channel of revival. Is he happy? No, instead of praising, we find him pouting. And you know the sad reality is this, friend. That same sinful attitude can easily be found among the people of God. Instead of God's people praising the Lord for all his benefits, and his mercies are new every morning. How many of God's people have got a grumbling spirit? How many of God's people have a complaining spirit? How many of God's people, friend, listen, you meet them and they're griping about something. They're fussing about something. They're murmuring over something. In reality, they're murmuring over nothing. It's usually the little things. Because the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And it is also true that the greatest damage that is done to the work of God, friend, is not done from without the church. The greatest damage that's done amongst the people of God is done within the church. And the greatest damaging opposition to God's work is not done by the devil's crowd. But the greatest damage to God's work is done whenever a child of God gets sour in their lives and their testimonies, and they hinder the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. And this is what the Holy Ghost says. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. There's one thing you can say about him. He wasn't lukewarm anyway. The Lord says you're never warm or hot. Well, I tell you, whenever he was warm, he was warm. Whenever he was cold, he certainly was cold. But Jonah was very angry. Now, that word, angry, it means he was burning with anger. It means he was consumed with anger. It means that he was fuming. It means that he was resentful. Resentful. Tell me, who was he angry with? Who was he exceedingly angry with then? Listen to me carefully. He was resentful against God. He was resentful against God. For God had not destroyed the city of Nineveh. Instead, God had chosen to be gracious. And God had chosen to be merciful to repentant sinners. And I can tell you, child of God, and I say this lovingly, and I say it to my heart, and I say it to your heart. Let me tell you, here we have a bitter man. A bitter man against God. Because God didn't do what he wanted. And I say this to every child of God. Let me tell you, bitterness will destroy you. It will destroy you. If you have a bitter spirit this morning against some brother or against some sister, I want to tell you, you are backslidden in heart. If I have a bitter spirit against a brother or a sister, be honest, I don't care what I say, I am backslidden in heart, because resentment in the heart, it leads to bitterness, and I'll tell you, bitterness will destroy your peace, and bitterness will destroy your joy. And instead of knowing the evidence of the power of the Spirit of God, friend, you will be out of fellowship with the Spirit and out of fellowship with God. It says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And friend, you and I know exactly what that means, because the book of Galatians in the chapter 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. And if you say, I am Spirit-filled, then, friend, this is the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is long-suffering, it is gentleness, it is goodness, it is faith, it is meekness, it is temperance. Against such there is no law. And if a man says to me, I am filled with the Spirit of God, and that man has not within his heart the evidences of the fruit of the Spirit, let me tell you, he's a liar. His words are empty. His words are vain. They mean absolutely nothing. And I want to tell you, here was a man that God had used. And because God didn't judge Nineveh, he was angry against God. And that's the fact it says this. He was exceedingly displeased. And the Holy Ghost says he was very angry. Now it is true that God's angry with sin. But I want to tell you, the word for God's anger against sin then is a different word in the Greek, or in the Hebrew rather. It is a different word in the Hebrew than the word there for Jonah's anger. The word in the Hebrew for Jonah's anger was a word, kara. The word in the Hebrew for God's anger is the word asp, A-S-P. And that word is linked with the nostril. It's therefore often translated snort. It implies a snort of righteous indignation. This was not righteous indignation. This was not righteous indignation that was in Jonah's heart. This was a heart that was fuming against God. This was a heart that was bitter against God. And he's bitter against Nineveh. And because God had saved Nineveh, because God had delivered and God had been gracious to them, we find that he was resentful with God. See, could that get into the heart of a believer? Yes, friend, it can. Could that get into my heart? Yes, it could. Could that get into your heart? Yes, it could, friend. And I'll tell you this. The Bible always says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Be very careful. And so we here see Jonah's displeasure. But look at verse 2. Jonah's defiance. Because you know Jonah, in his displeasure, he's got very defiant. So defiant was Jonah in his bitterness. He went out of the city, verse 5. He left the city. He didn't want to remain in the city. But the Bible says he went out of the city and he sat down and he prayed. That's what it says in verse 5. He went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. That was at the highest point. And there he made a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He was still hoping that somehow that God would damn it. Somehow God would plunge it into judgment. But friend, notice carefully. He went out of the... That reminds me, again, of the prodigal brother. Remember the father went out to him and he said, son, come on in. Friend, he wouldn't even go in to see his brother. It was his brother who was in there. It was his brother was in the house, but he was so bitter. He was so bitter that his father had killed the fatted calf, that his father was rejoicing that this boy had left the far country. And he wouldn't even come in. And his father had to go out and beg him. He says, son, come on in. For this my son was dead and is alive again. This my son was lost and is found. And any man or any woman who embraces that bitter spirit, friend, it'll destroy them. Remember Elijah? Elijah sat down under the tree and he cried for God to take him. Robert Murray McShane, the famous Scottish preacher, he said this, I find in my heart the seeds of every known sin. And friend, if you're honest, you could say honestly with Robert Murray McShane, rather than the pious attitude that some of us, God's people, sometimes walk around as if we had never sinned, friend, and were anything but it. For God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Robert Murray McShane, the godly McShane, who died as a young man, burnt out for Christ. He says, I find in my own heart the seeds of every known sin. Tell me, what did Jonah do whenever he flew off the handle with God? What did Jonah do whenever he was bitter against God? Look at it. Look at verse 2. Let's open the words of verse 2. And he prayed. And he prayed unto the Lord. He prayed. To be honest, it was an angry prayer. This was a bitter prayer. This was an angry prayer. To be honest, as I read this prayer of verse number 2, let's read it. And he prayed, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die and to live. To be honest, it was a prayer of poison, because it spoke of the poison that was in his heart. And this poison has invaded his relationship with God. And he lifts his fist in the very face of God. What do I see in this prayer, friend? I see the problem with his heart, friend, because it's full of selfishness. It's full of self. You say, where do you find that in that prayer? Let me tell you, friend. You just read that prayer again. Do you know what you find? In that small prayer, 10 times, I, me, and my. That's what it was full of. I, me, and my. Verses 2 and 3. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. Was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die and not live. In the book of Jonah, he has been recorded as praying before, friend. But his prayer before was different. His prayer before was out of a broken heart, as he cried in the belly of the fish. But this is not a broken heart. You know what he was praying before? He says, God, let me live. Let me live. Oh, God, spare me. God, save me. Out of the belly of the fish, he cried to God. And now what's he praying? God, let me die. Why? Because of his spirit. He is an angry, bitter spirit. Why did he pray, God, let me live? Because he had a broken spirit. He came with a broken and a contrite heart. And whenever a man or a woman becomes self-centered, and friend, whenever a self-centered person speaks, usually when they open their mouth, it's about me. Because the world revolves around them and about their circumstances. You know what happens? God's pushed aside. The glory of God's pushed aside. The work of God is pushed aside. You know why? Because it's I's the priority, not God. God's not the priority anymore. But the Bible says that if we're going to follow him, we have to deny ourselves and follow him. Remember the man in the scripture? Jesus said, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to bury my Father. Notice the words, me first. And be honest, there's selfishness in all of our hearts. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, friend. Before God, it's me. We must be honest before God. In all of our hearts, there's an awful lot of me. There's a lot of I. There's an awful lot of my, what I want and what I need. Why did he pray such a prayer? Why would a man pray such a prayer, friend? Because Jonah wanted to see Nineveh burn. He wanted it to burn. You see, Jonah believed that grace was something that was only for Israel. And God's grace would only be manifest and only be shown to Israel. But God couldn't have grace for the Gentiles. And whenever God showed and manifested his grace to the Gentiles, and God had saved the city from destruction because they repented and turned to the Lord, Jonah got angry. Of course, he didn't mind God showing grace to Israel. Because remember the prophecy that Jonah had made before. Go back to the book of 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings, in the chapter 14, Jonah is mentioned there. And whenever God looked on Israel. That's verse number 25, 2 Kings 14, verse 25. He restored the coast of Israel from the entrance of Hamath onto the Sea of the Plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, when he spoke by the hand of a servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet. Verse 26, for the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. Verse 27, and the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Yes, he didn't mind God being gracious to Israel. Oh no, whenever God was gracious to Israel, that was all right. But he didn't want God's grace to be shown to the Gentiles. He didn't mind God being gracious to him. Whenever he was down in the belly of the great fish, and God delivered him. But friend, to be honest, Jonah's grace was to be exclusive. Only for me and mine. I'm glad God has a greater heart. I'm glad that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. Why was he angry? I've got to finish this morning. In ways, to be honest, Jonah felt let down by God. You see, Jonah was more concerned about him than he was about God. Because, you see, Jonah had gone and preached the message God had given him. And God had said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, Jonah was a prophet. But Nineveh wasn't overthrown. And Jonah feels that he has been discredited as a prophet. Because his prophecy hasn't been fulfilled. In other words, Jonah was hurt in his pride. His pride got hurt. See, Jonah hadn't listened to the whole message. God didn't say, Nineveh shall be overthrown. It says, yet 40 days. There was the offer of grace. There was the offer of God's mercy. But you see, whenever resentment comes into a heart, friend, you see, when bitterness comes into a heart, even against God himself, then reason goes out the window. And certainly godliness has gone out the window, because he's more concerned about his reputation than he was about the glory of God. Was God not glorified in saving old city, friend? The greatest revival that has ever been recorded. The greatest movement of God that has ever been recorded, when a whole city, a vast city of 3 days' journey, and every man and woman from the very king stepped down of the throne, he took off his royal garments, he put on sackcloth, and he wept before God. He put sackcloth on the very beasts of the field, and mourning and acknowledging their sin and repenting. But he wasn't concerned about God's glory. He was concerned about his reputation. I'm glad Jesus made himself, the Bible says, of no reputation. He humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a man, and he went to the cross of Calvary, friend, and he died that you and I might be redeemed. In actual fact, he was so carnal in his prayer, he even tried to justify in God's presence why he ran away from God's will. Look at verse 2. It says, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. You know, in Jonah's prayer, we could ask what's right about it. Well, I suppose what we could say is this. What was right? He prayed. He prayed. He had a grievance against God, and I suppose we could say he talked to God about it. He was also honest. But we have to ask ourselves, what was wrong about it? And I'll tell you what was wrong about it. Jonah was preaching in his prayer. He was preaching. He's saying, Lord, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? You see, Jonah wasn't desiring to say, oh God, would you please show me why that you've done this? He wasn't asking God for his will. He wasn't trying to find out why God had moved in salvation and in blessing. He wasn't concerned about that. He was telling God. And instead of saying, God, I want to know your will, he says, God, I want to tell you my will. And I say this before God, friend, as I finish this morning. You also beware whenever people make a prayer meeting a platform for preaching. Sometimes people make a prayer meeting a platform for preaching to others. They're preaching to somebody else. And I say this honestly before God, never was prayer an opportunity to get at somebody. Your prayer time is to talk to God, to do business with him. Not to preach to somebody else in the congregation. Jonah's prayer didn't honor God. He prayed his best prayer in the worst place, in the belly of the fish. And he prayed his worst prayer in the best place before he went out of the city. And with this I'm through. You look at Jonah's prayer. Let me tell you something about it. His doctrine was correct. Look at that. His doctrine was right. In Jonah's prayer, he mentioned five glorious features of the character of God. He knew that God was a God of grace. In actual fact, he knew what it said in the book of Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Because that's really what he was referring to. It's also referred to in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Yes, he knew these characteristics of God. God was gracious. God was merciful. That God was slow to anger. That God was of great kindness. That God repented him of the evil. God, he knew. His doctrine was right, but his conclusion was wrong. You be very careful. His conclusion was wrong, friend. For instead of complimenting God for who he was, Jonah was belittling God for what he had done. God, you had no right to be gracious. You had no right to be merciful. You had no right to be slow in anger. You had no right to be of great kindness. You had no right to repent what you were going to do to that city of Nineveh. And he tries to take God's word, friend. You know what he does? He takes that which is good and he twists it. And he just turns it around. He's just excusing his own actions. Do we see Jonah here, friend, in our hearts? Could it be that when you look at the story of Jonah, we can see a lot of ourselves? That as we see the Holy Ghost honestly painting the picture in the fourth chapter, isn't it right? Had the fourth chapter not been given, you would have thought differently of Jonah. But listen carefully. Thou, God, seest me. And God, you know me altogether, warts and all. And God is a gracious God, and God is a pardoning God, and thank God I'm able to tell that to the people this morning, that God's a God that's ready to pardon if you'll come, if you repent of your sin, that God will forgive you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please, God, teach me as I read of Jonah. Touch my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. Help us, our God, to see us as we really are. Help us, O God, this morning to repent of our sins. The sins of our heart, the bitter anger in our heart, because things don't work out the way we want them. Because, God, you bless someone we don't want blessed. Or you do something that we don't want done. And yet, God, you say in your word, as for God as we is perfect, O God, bless us and help us today to follow thee, holy, whatever it means, whatever it takes, in Jesus' name.